This morning, America's first news starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Questions about boosters. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Thursday, September 16. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
New findings indicate current COVID vaccine doses provide sufficient protection against severe disease and death. What's that mean for booster shots?
Some of America's most accomplished Olympians ripped the FBI for their its failures in the Larry Nassar investigation. Hear their testimony.
Lawmakers want Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg to drop plans for an Instagram for kids after research shows the platform can cause suicidal thoughts.
And on a lighter note, with the return of Broadway, what can we expect of ticket prices?
There was, I think, an expectation that maybe there would be some bargains because maybe Broadway would be eager to get theater goers back in theaters. And what we found is not quite. You know, right now, ticket prices are generally holding in line with where they were at pre-pandemic.
Charles Passy at MarketWatch on whether Broadway's comeback will include higher prices. The FBI minimized and disregarded her complaints. That was the testimony of gold medalist Michaela Maroney, a former USA gymnast who testified before Congress yesterday about her abuse at the hands of Team Dr. Larry Nassar. Ms. Maroney, along with fellow world-class gymnasts Simone Biles, Ali Raisman, and Maggie Nichols, gave senators an emotional and detailed account of how the FBI, USA Gymnastics, and the U.S. Olympic Committee failed to investigate or act when they emerged as potential victims of sexual assault by Mr. Nassar under the guise of medical treatment.
These individuals clearly violated policies and were negligent in executing their duties. And in doing so, more girls were abused by Larry Nassar for over a year.
The testimony comes as the insurers of USA Gymnastics and the U.S. Olympic Committee consider their contribution to a proposed $425 million settlement for hundreds of Mr. Nassar's victims. He is in a federal prison, by the way, in Florida. President Biden has met with executives from companies including Disney and Microsoft to advance his COVID-19 vaccination requirements for the private sector. The White House meeting comes after a plan Mr. Biden announced last week that includes vaccine requirements affecting roughly 100 million workers.
Goldman Sachs, vaccinations will have positive impact on employment. It means less spread of COVID, which will help people return to work.
Elsewhere, FDA scientists now say that booster doses of Pfizer's vaccine may not be needed, even though the third shot generates a higher immune response in recipients. They said in a document that it's not clear yet whether there's a declining efficacy of the initial doses. Separately, new data from Moderna shows that the protection it offers with its vaccine wanes over time, supporting the case for booster doses. Also of note, the Chicago Teachers Union says by the end of the second week of school in the nation's third largest school district, Chicago Public Schools had directed more than 5,600 students and nearly 100 staff members to quarantine. Well, the federal agency that President Biden has tasked with implementing a national vaccine mandate has struggled to respond to the coronavirus pandemic, drawing fire for failing to issue broad safety rules specifically aimed at keeping workers safe from workplace transmission. But with the vaccine mandate announced last week, Mr. Biden has finally given the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, the green light to take aggressive action. More from Eli Rosenberg, labor reporter at The Washington Post. Eli, what do we have?
As the pandemic continues to worsen we're seeing a lot of pessimism increase about the, you know, fall, which was once supposed to be the kind of great return to what we considered normal life, President Biden has amped up his campaign to get Americans vaccinated. Part of that now is creating a process of mandatory vaccinations for federal workers. But using actually the Department of Labor, specifically OSHA, which deals with workplace safety, to actually require that private companies create vaccine requirements for workers that they can only get out of if they're getting tested weekly.
Yeah. So somebody in your story said this is the most controversial thing that OSHA has undertaken. How so?
OSHA is usually out of the limelight. It's not necessarily always a household name. That doesn't mean it's not important, though. It's, you know, again, a lot of the standards that all of us face when we go into work every day, whether it's an office or a construction site or a kitchen or anything else, are because OSHA is out there mandating those things and enforcing them. So it's always engaged in work that is, you could say, controversial or, you know, has a role that sometimes the business community doesn't like in terms of regulations. But now you're talking about a huge scale enforcement of, you know, millions of workers, millions of companies on this really hot button issue about whether, you know, people should be vaccinated or not.
It's fascinating. So as you point out in the story, like many things these days, it has drawn political fire. Yet businesses, generally speaking, have been receptive. What's your read on that?
Yeah. You know, again, we're talking a huge numbers of companies, so you're going to get reactions across the board. But it does seem like the business community perhaps is you know, cautiously optimistic about this policy. You know, a community that probably, you know, on a large scale is concerned about the threat that the coronavirus faces to the operations of business. You know, we now see we had a pretty disappointing jobs report in August. You know, so there's obviously concern that the sort of robust expectations for the economy's recovery could be threatened by the fact that people are pulling back again. So that may be driving some of this. You may also just have companies that know that it's the best and easiest and safest way to get their workers back is to require vaccines, and they may want that. And this gives them some political cover so they don't have to take that responsibility on their shoulders. So, yes, it does seem like the business community is sort of, yes, cautiously lining up behind this. But that's not to say there are going to be companies out there that are not going to dig their heels in and raise a fuss.
Sure. We're speaking with Eli Rosenberg, labor reporter at The Washington Post. His piece is called Biden Vaccine Mandate Pulls Workplace Safety Agency to Center of Political Storm. That's a reference to OSHA. So you threw a couple of these out for OSHA, and that's kind of the most pressing questions here as we go forward. Take us through some of those.
You know, we just need to see that, you know, the devil's in the details. How long are businesses going to have to comply with the mandate? Will it include other workplace safety requirements? You know, activists have been pushing for much of the last year for OSHA to institute safety procedures like masking, social distancing, disinfecting for the pandemic. OSHA has thus far largely declined to issue a broad mandate. So we don't know if this is going to include, I think it's unlikely it will. We don't know if this is going to include any of those aspects. Should businesses be required to communicate exposures or outbreaks to their workers? This is just a basic thing that I think, you know, a lot of us would expect from our employer, that if we were exposed to someone potentially at work, that we would be notified. Therefore, we could keep ourselves and potentially our family safe. But that's not actually legally required at the moment. So will it include something simple like that? Who will provide funding? Who will be paying for workers to get time off to get the vaccine and potentially recover from side effects? Will those costs fall on employers? So, you know, this is a complicated, massive, and, you know, touchy undertaking.
Thanks, Eli. Eli Rosenberg, labor reporter for The Washington Post. Coming up next, Biden backs Milley. Dell's semi-annual sale is the perfect opportunity for a significant business upgrade. Save up to 45% on Dell computers built for business with Windows 10 Pro. Plus, enjoy special pricing on Dell docks, monitors, servers, and more, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Succeed anywhere with Windows 10 Pro. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor today to find the right tech for your business with fast, free shipping. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Blocking out the noise and bringing you the facts. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Glad you're with us. President Biden is supporting the top U.S. military officer, Mark Milley, a day after a new book said he went around civilian leaders to place secret calls to his Chinese counterpart over concerns about then-President Trump. The calls raised concerns that Mr. Milley may have subverted civilian control, but Mr. Biden defended him yesterday, White House spokeswoman Jen Psaki.
He is a man who's the president's confident in his leadership, his patriotism, his fidelity to the Constitution. I can't speak to, and I'm not going to speak to, anonymous, unconfirmed, out-of-context reports from the last administration.
General Milley's office pushed back against the report in the book, saying the calls he made as chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff were coordinated with the Pentagon and across the U.S. government. The book Peril, by journalists Bob Woodward and Robert Costa, which said they relied on interviews with 200 sources, is due to be released next week. In a statement, former President Trump called the story fabricated. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Through tears, gymnastics superstar Simone Biles blamed the FBI, USA Gymnastics, and the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee at a Senate hearing for allowing disgraced former USA Gymnastics team Dr. Larry Nassar to abuse dozens of women and children.
I sit before you today to raise my voice so that no little girl must endure what I, the athletes at this table, and the countless others who needlessly suffered under Nassar's guise of medical treatment, which we continue to endure today.
Fellow elite gymnasts Allie Raisman, Michaela Maroney, and Maggie Nichols also testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee on the FBI's failures to investigate 2015 sexual abuse allegations against Nassar.
Number two.
SpaceX's first private flight streaked into orbit last night with two contest winners, a healthcare worker, and their rich sponsor, the most ambitious leap yet in space tourism. It was the first time a spacecraft circled Earth with an all-amateur crew and no professional astronauts. The capsule will circle the Earth for 3 days from an unusually high orbit, 100 miles higher than the International Space Station, before splashing down off the Florida coast this weekend. It's SpaceX founder Elon Musk's first entry in the competition for space tourism dollars.
Number three.
Influential government advisors will debate tomorrow if there's enough proof that a booster dose of Pfizer's COVID vaccine is safe and effective, the first step toward deciding which people need one and when. Yesterday, the FDA took a decidedly neutral tone on the rationale for boosters. A federal judge has declined to block a ban imposed by Republican Governor Ron DeSantis to prevent mandating masks for Florida school students. The judge in Miami denied a request by parents of disabled children for a preliminary injunction against an executive order that DeSantis issued in July that served as the basis for the state health department issuing a rule that required school districts to allow parents to opt out of any student mask mandates. The judge says parents should have pursued administrative claims before filing a lawsuit. A first edition of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein has set a new world record for a printed work by a woman when it was auctioned for $1.17 million. The three-volume copy of Frankenstein, which still bears its original boards from its 1818 printing, had been projected to sell for $200,000 to
$300,000. Wow, it's six times as much it went for. Impressive. Thanks, Jen. Coming up next, the big question as Broadway returns. Some people treat investing like a game, but not Marcus by Goldman Sachs. Their digitally managed portfolios are backed by over 150 years of financial experience. So play games with your money or put it to work with a digitally managed portfolio from Marcus by Goldman Sachs. Go to Marcus.com to learn more. Brokerage and advisory services by Goldman Sachs & Company, LLC. Member SIPC. Investments involve risk and may lose value. Thanks for being with us. Several Broadway productions are reopening this month. On Tuesday, The Great White Way welcomed back such fixtures as Hamilton and The Lion King. Broadway's comeback begs a big question as the industry tries to woo theatergoers who will have to wear masks and show proof of vaccination. Will it be prepared to offer significant savings on the notoriously expensive tickets? In-depth analysis from Charles Passy, reporter at MarketWatch. Charles, what did you find?
What we found is that, you know, there was, I think, an expectation that maybe there would be some bargains because maybe Broadway would be eager to get theatergoers back in theaters and so that there might be some discounting. And what we found is not quite. You know, right now, ticket prices are maybe slightly lower, but generally holding in line with where they were at pre-pandemic. Now, you have to keep in mind, pre-pandemic, ticket prices were at a record high. They were at $123.87 was the average Broadway ticket price before the pandemic. And yet, you know, premium seats that were going well above 400 in some cases. So it seems like right now Broadway is basically kind of holding the line on prices. You might find things 10 or 20% lower in some instances, but you're not going to see drastic discounts across the board.
And how come?
Well, basically, because here's the deal. Broadway is selling tickets right now. Now, there's concern what will happen down the road. Keep in mind, Broadway's audience is more than 50% tourists, and New York do not have the tourists. But what New York does have, or doesn't have the tourists in the same way it did before the pandemic, but what it does have right now, and I mean right now in this moment over the next few weeks, is a lot of New Yorkers, tri-state people, even some domestic tourists that are dying to get inside a Broadway theater again. So that, you know, it's basically the laws of supply and demand. So right now, with tremendous interest in Broadway, as the whole industry comes back, Hamilton is reopening, you know, all these shows, Chicago, Wicked, all these great shows that are now back in running or whatever, there's a buzz going on. So there's a greater demand, which means they don't have the pressure to lower ticket prices.
We're speaking with Charles Passy, reporter at MarketWatch. His story is called Broadway is Back, Are High Ticket Prices Too? So you referenced too, all 41 Broadway theaters are not open yet either. Could that sort of thin the ranks of theatergoers and create lower ticket prices?
Well, I think it's almost the reverse. I think what's happening is Broadway has been very calculated. Even though each show is its own entity and can do whatever it wants, it does seem like the industry has kind of decided to do a slow rollout, which gives each show its own runway. What that in effect is doing is I think it is driving demand higher. In other words, if you have less product, and each show is kind of getting its moment in the sun, that will potentially boost the ticket prices for those shows. But I think at some point when everything is up and running, you know, yeah, then I think it could start to you know, in other words, when Hamilton is competing against 40 other shows, it makes it, you know, it means that people have alternatives. When Hamilton is only competing against, I think right now, 6 other shows, well, that does change the picture a little bit. So I think over time it could, but right now the thinning of the ranks, so that's sort of there right now, means more demand for the shows that are there, I would argue.
Thanks, Charles. Charles Passy, reporter at MarketWatch. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. First impressions are a big deal, and after last year of video meetings and remote working, you've got the chance to make a first impression all over again in your professional life. That's the beauty of Indochino. Indochino offers completely custom-fitted suits, shirts, casual wear, and more at surprisingly affordable prices. Every piece is made to your exact measurements, and you can customize every detail. I just ordered a pair of chino pants from their website, and I'm amazed at how easy the process was. I was able to measure myself at home in minutes with help from their instructional videos. And everything from the hem to the back pockets are fully customizable. I'm floored that custom-made quality can be so affordable. You have to try it to believe it. Customize your new professional look, book an in-person appointment, or find a brand new Indochino location in a select Nordstrom near you at Indochino.com. Right now, you can get $50 off any purchase of $399 or more by using the code Gordon at checkout. That's $50 off a purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com. Indochino.com. Promo code Gordon.
The news without the nonsense. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Thursday, September 16. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Olympic gymnasts highlight FBI failures in the Larry Nassar case. FDA scientists say booster doses of Pfizer's vaccine may not be needed. Fencing erected around the U.S. Capitol ahead of a rally Saturday supporting January rioters. SpaceX launched 4 ordinary citizens into orbit last night without an astronaut. Milwaukee Bucks hired Lisa Byington as the lead on TV, the first full-time female play-by-play announcer for a major men's pro team. And how teachers came to the rescue of their beloved custodian in Georgia. That story in about 20 minutes. There are competing interests within congressional districts that highlight the challenges Democrats face as they try to squeeze through a $3.5 trillion package comprised of climate provisions and a vast expansion of the country's safety net. Some of those competing interests are among constituents of Virginia Congresswoman Abigail Spanberger. More from Wall Street Journal reporter Christina Peterson on Capitol Hill. Christina, what's up here?
So Congresswoman Spanberger's district, which is in central Virginia, was just kind of a good example of the competing pressures that the Democrats face as they try to piece together this sprawling $3.5 trillion package. She has lots of constituents who want to see elements of that package passed, and in particular, provisions to lower the cost of prescription drugs, support for caregivers providing in-home services. Those were two of the things that constituents really were excited about and wanted to see. But on the other hand, she has constituents who are concerned about the overall cost of such a package, and they worry that it will fuel inflation. And then also about some of the measures that are designed to bring about revenue, some of these changes to the tax code. And in particular, there are some surrounding how inherited properties are taxed that are particularly controversial.
Has she come out formally and said that she doesn't love the $3.5 trillion number?
She has been a little bit coy about what she thinks the number should be. She's one of a number of lawmakers who have said, you know, we could spend that money wisely or we could spend that money poorly. And so she's basically indicated that she wants to keep an eye on how it comes together. And if it looks like it's money well spent, she'll support it. But she hasn't drawn a red line around the number the way that we've seen with Senator Joe Manchin, who said $3.5 trillion is too much for me, as has Senator Kyrsten Sinema in the Senate. They've indicated that they want to see lower spending. Mr. Manchin in particular has said $1 to $1.5 trillion is what he could ballpark support. Congresswoman Spanberger hasn't put sort of a number out there like that, but she definitely has constituents who are concerned about that $3.5 trillion, so she's indicated that she will be watchful on that.
Explain a little bit about what you referenced earlier, and that's this tax rule known as stepped up basis, which a lot of farm owners who are keeping an eye on that?
Yeah. Now, the way that President Biden had proposed this change, it would exempt a lot of small family farms. So the way it works right now is that if people die with unrealized gains, their heirs pay capital gains taxes, but only on gains after the previous owner's death and only when they sell. So the Biden proposal would treat death like a sale for tax purposes and also raise the top capital gains rate. Now, we've seen one House committee put out suggestions that did not touch that stepped-up basis at all. It raised the capital gains rate, but it would not change what happened when the previous owner dies and those gains go to their successor. So I think that reflects some hesitance on the House to wade into this because there are a lot of farm state House Democrats who are wary of this, despite the exceptions that are in there for small farms and small businesses.
We're speaking with Christina Peterson, congressional reporter at The Wall Street Journal. Her piece is called "Democrats Hear Conflicting Messages from Voters on $3.5 Trillion Plan." The whole idea, too, of lowering prescription drugs sounds fantastic, but the reality of that, I'm not sure about, right?
Well, there is debate among Democrats about how exactly that gets done. There does seem to be emerging consensus that Democrats want to give Medicare the ability to negotiate their prices with pharmaceutical companies, but the exact mechanism that would be used is still under debate, and there is an energy and commerce markup today that is discussing this, and that provision may not advance in committee because some centrist Democrats have concerns about the leadership plan for doing this. They have their own plan that's a little bit narrower in terms of which drugs could be negotiated and what kind of savings could be extracted by Medicare. So that's definitely a point of contention. And, you know, with all of these debates, there's peril for Democratic leadership because they can lose no more than 3 votes in the House and none at all in the Senate, given the united Republican opposition we expect on this.
Thanks, Christina. Christina Peterson, Wall Street Journal reporter on Capitol Hill. Coming up next, the Mic Drop.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday Eve. It is time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, another week of NFL football is upon us. So here are a couple of football, or at least football-adjacent stories. This one isn't funny, but at least it has a happy ending. Some fantasy football players obviously need to take things down a few notches after the wife of an injured player says she got sent heartless social media messages. Devin Mostert is the wife of 49ers running back Raheem Mostert, who was injured in the Niners' first game on Sunday and had season-ending surgery this week to repair his knee. Devin described some of the vile messages she received after her husband's injury potentially lost some fantasy football players some money. There is a bright sign, however. After Devin posted about the bad messages, she says the couple then got an outpouring of love and support. She thanked those who have sent words of encouragement to her family and promised her husband's comeback is, quote, going to be legendary.
This is some of social media at its worst.
Yes. Well, this is what happens when you start spending too much money on these kind of things. You know, you put, who knows, hundreds and thousands of dollars into these fantasy leagues like people do now. And then, one person gets injured in the first game. They're out for the whole year. That could potentially mess up your whole season and lose you a bunch of money, and people get a little nuts.
So did you, as a fantasy football player, send a message to Mrs. Mostert?
No, that's not something that I would do.
Here's why.
Full disclosure, he was not on my team, but no, that would not be something I would do.
And here's why.
Yes.
You did not reach out to Mrs. Mostert, mm-hmm. besides the fact that he's not on your team.
Right, yes.
You have a life.
Well, sure.
That's why.
Sure.
People
like
who do these
so.
Types of things don't have a life.
Yes. And again, probably risking too much of their lives and livelihood for these things.
I'm a big believer. If you have a social media account, you should have your name on there, who you work for. You should be fully identifiable, because anonymity on social media is just a pointless waste.
You have said that many times before. And it's safe to say that ESPN football analyst Dan Orlovsky is a man of many talents. First, he played 12 seasons as a quarterback in the NFL, then he transitioned to TV and has become one of the network's signature faces. But his greatest talent may be in a different arena. Orlovsky's colleague Mina Kimes posted a video to Twitter this week that's gone viral, showcasing the former QB's ability to do a spot-on impression of a dog. Yes, Gordon, that's a human.
Man.
That is not a canine. In the clip, Kimes is blown away by this revelation, and so were Twitter users who have watched the clip nearly a million times.
It is spectacular. It's as good as it gets.
Yeah, I mean, rarely do you hit, people do impressions of other people all the time, but rarely you get a spot-on impression of an animal like that. Like that kind of dog cadence is hard to pull off.
That is remarkable. And it looked like they were sitting in like a, I don't know, some sort of cafeteria or
just hanging out.
Small room, just hanging out, right? And all of a sudden he's doing this dog impersonation.
Wonder how that comes out. Like, because she, you know, sort of said that she kind of just discovered this about him, right? So I wonder how that even comes out in conversation, how that even happened in the first place.
That is funny. That is, I mean, a dog can't do it better than that.
No, that's pretty good.
That's great. Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. This is pretty sobering. Every 10 seconds, someone becomes a victim of fraud or ID theft. And even worse, 23% never recover their money. If you think it can happen to you, that's what they're counting on. But now, there's Aura. Aura is all-in-one protection from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and more. And Aura alerts you to fraud and threats fast, like if your online accounts or passwords were leaked or if someone tries to open a bank account in your name. It's a new type of security service that protects all of your online information with one simple subscription. Aura is easy to set up, and all plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover your stolen funds and experienced U.S.-based customer support that's got your back. Right now, Aura is offering our listeners early access and 3 free months when you visit aura.com/Gordon. Go to aura.com/Gordon to get access before anyone else and 3 months for free. That's aura.com/Gordon.
The information you need and the truth you demand. Start your day with America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Autotrader.com says car dealers and auto repair shops have had a tough time hiring mechanics, which means wait times for an appointment may stretch into days or even weeks for some popular shops. The Seattle Times profiled car repair shops that have dangled incentives as high as $1,000 to lure mechanics to their rosters. The shortage comes down to a number of factors, including recently expired federal unemployment benefits. However, repair shops were considered essential businesses nearly everywhere. Mechanics tend to be paid hourly, and many shops require that they supply their own tools, a costly ask that can result in a mountain of debt due to high interest payments. That, combined with the challenges involved in repairing increasingly complex newer vehicles, has discouraged would-be technicians. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Some of the nation's most decorated gymnasts have offered harrowing testimony about the sexual abuse they suffered by former USA Gymnastics Dr. Larry Nassar, arguing the failure of institutions like the FBI to immediately investigate allegations of abuse allowed the misconduct to continue unanswered while the number of his victims grew. Allie Raisman was one of four women who appeared yesterday before the Senate Judiciary Committee.
We've been getting empty promises from USAG and USOPC for years, and I don't take people's words for things. It has to be action, and so, you know, hopefully today will be a day that effectuates real meaningful change.
The hearing comes after the Justice Department's Inspector General concluded in a damning report this summer that FBI employees botched the investigation into the allegations in 2015 and 16.
Number two.
President Biden met with the CEOs of Disney, Columbia Sportswear, and other business executives and leaders yesterday to discuss his recently announced vaccine requirement for companies that employ at least 100 people. Press Secretary Jen Psaki.
The president made clear last week he's going to use every lever possible from the federal government to reduce the spread of COVID, to protect more people, to save more lives. That is what we will hope lead to us going to back to a version of normal.
OSHA is working to issue an emergency rule to implement the requirements in the coming weeks. Alex Murdaugh, the man accused of trying to arrange his own death earlier this month so his son would receive a $10 million life insurance payment, is expected to turn himself into authorities today. Murdaugh, a prominent South Carolina lawyer, allegedly hired a gunman to kill him, but the planned fatal shot only grazed his head. Murdaugh's attorney says a warrant was issued yesterday for his arrest on a charge of conspiracy to commit insurance fraud. Cabbage Patch Kids, the rosy cheek dolls that left store shelves picked clean during the first big holiday toy craze, are up for a spot in the National Toy Hall of Fame. Other finalists include regular old sand, the toy fire engine, battleship, the pinata, American Girl dolls, and Mahjong. The top three vote getters will be announced in November.
Cabbage Patch Kids have to be unanimous. Come
I
on.
I don't know. There's so many to choose from.
6 minutes now in front of the hour. Dell's semi-annual sale is the perfect opportunity for a significant business upgrade. Save up to 45% on Dell computers built for business with Windows 10 Pro. Plus, enjoy special pricing on Dell docks, monitors, servers, and more, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Succeed anywhere with Windows 10 Pro. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor today to find the right tech for your business with fast, free shipping. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Good story about a community rallying to help a person in need. Chris Jackson, a custodian at Unity Grove Elementary School in Locust Grove, Georgia, had apparently been walking to work before two teachers at the school were able to raise the money he needed for a car. The moment when teachers presented the car to Mr. Jackson was posted on Facebook in the two-minute clip. Mr. Jackson is stunned.
What they say about people is not real. It is not real. This here, I never would have dreamt of something like this. This is mind-blowing to me.
Jody Combs, a special ed teacher at Unity Grove Elementary, and one of the teachers who spearheaded the fundraising efforts for Mr. Jackson's car, told Fox News that in June, she and first grade teacher Megan McDonald have found out Mr. Jackson had fallen on some hard times. He had saved some money for a car, though he didn't have enough. The teachers helped by appealing to Facebook. Teachers and members of the community raised $1,000. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.